Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, lads. The Trumps have left the building. Our US correspondent Rebecca O'Neill joins us now live from New York City. And there's so much to talk about. Good morning, Rebecca. How's it going?
Good morning.
Does it feel different?
I am feeling good, Jen. Look, it's a new day, a new dawn, right? And can I just say, it's my first day on the job reporting on a brand new president. How exciting. I think as well, from a personal point of view, there is this kind of feeling of freedom, Jen. You know, you're really free of this like sense of oppression, the shadow of fear, the feeling of not knowing what is coming next. You know, with the unpredictability of Trump, versus the kind of stability and calmness and hope of Joe Biden. Like, you can feel it in the air.
Everywhere, I mean, worldwide, Rebecca. I mean, over here, everywhere. I mean, this morning. I mean, it's just such a big day. I think we all felt it. But President number 46 has a lot on his plate, you know, to say the least. The guys who have been in his shoes were on hand last night to offer some advice. Let's have a listen to Bush and Obama and Clinton to check this out.
One of my fondest memories of the inauguration was the grace and generosity that President Bush showed me.
I think if Americans would love their neighbor like they would like to be loved themselves, a lot of the division in our society would end.
That's what this means. It's a new beginning. And everybody needs to get off their high horse and reach out to their friends and neighbors.
Lovely. Now, that was aired late last night, stateside, as part of Celebrating America. The celebs stood at event in lieu of the usual inauguration ball. What did we miss?
Yeah, well, Jen, look, I stayed up late so you guys didn't have to. It was all the pomp and pageantry we've grown to expect, really, going on the day's festivities. Like you said, it was star-studded from top to bottom. It was opened by Bruce Springsteen, hosted by Tom Hanks, with Jon Bon Jovi, John Legend, Demi Lovato, and many more squished in between. Some serious sobering moments, like the clip you just played, as well as hearing from like teachers, UPS delivery men, people basically from all walks of life, not to mention, obviously, the main two, Kamala and Joe, of course, you know, veering from the very patriotic to the very literal, like only the Americans can do, culminating in the grand finale of Katy Perry performing Firework in front of, really, I have to say now, magnificent firework display, loads of shots of the new president, Veep, and family rocking out to the show.
I mean, the inauguration was something else. Let's take a listen to that moment when Joe Biden became the 46th president of the U.S. of A. Here we go.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
Office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
A long time coming for that one, but he's 78. I mean, he better not die in the next 12 months, Rebecca, because you know, how healthy is he? Tell me.
Oh my gosh, I know. We need to just wrap him in bubble wrap. But look, you know, he's got a great fill-in with Kamala. But I mean, like you said there, Jen, right, a really long career. His career in public office has actually spanned eight presidents, right? So now he's joining the ranks, finally, like fair play to him, never giving up. He just kept trying, you know, here he is, like what a journey. And I think regardless of what you feel for him, you know, no matter, you know, what side you are on politically or where you are in the world, I think his honesty, you know, I'm in this with my whole soul, his realness, insisting he's going to be a president for all Americans, you know, like Corona and the awful travesty that we're all facing right now. It doesn't really care, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat. And I think he's already clearly making, you know, tackling the COVID and looking after the people here like his top priority. So I do feel that there is this feeling generally here, Jen, that his authenticity and empathy really like, we'll strike a chord here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know what really struck me was just how important language is, and the language he uses, and it is his administration, is just so positive and affirming to us that, you know, good things are going to happen, and we're, you know, it's so respectful, unlike the Trump administration. And that just kind of sets the tone for what we are to expect, hopefully, right?
Absolutely. You're so right. And again, sure, we have seen the absolute, you know, importance of language and the absolute devastation it can cause, with Trump literally inciting the mob to create havoc and cause that violence, insurrection, you know, just 2 weeks ago. And that, you know, came about as a result of this incendiary language from the president at the time. So, you know, you're so right. That language is so important.
So important, yeah. And we were comparing it, the two administrations, and when we opened the show, and there was just such a stark difference. Can I ask you, what were some of the standout moments in the inauguration for you?
Yeah, God, there was a lot, right? But I think that really here, like the first woman, right? The first black woman, first woman of South Asian descent, incredible first here in the US. I think Ireland's kind of been ahead of the game with all our, with all the Marys and the kind of matriarchal society, women in power. But, yeah, you know, there was a long time coming here. I think another kind of straight off the bat, an early moment in the inauguration with Eugene Goodman coming down those Capitol steps. He was, of course, the policeman, the cop that you saw, stand up to that insightful mob full of hatred, you know, and he was the one who was bringing them, you know, bringing them away from the Senate and saving all these people. He got a well-deserved promotion and a nice bit of honour. I think it was so important that Biden did the silent prayer in memory to the lives lost. Like, I mean, ironically, right, yesterday with Trump's last few hours in office, the US had reached a new devastating milestone, over 400,000 deaths, you know, and Biden took the time out to have that silent prayer in memory to the lives lost. And that's just something we haven't seen, you know. And I think it's also kind of interesting at these things, seeing the former presidents out of their natural habitat, seeing the first wives, you know, seeing them all kind of having the chats, you know, and seeing how they're, you know, they're not at a funeral, or they're not at some kind of boring event. They're just up there kind of going, all right, who am I going to chat to now? You know, in the crowd, and seeing like, you know, Lady Gaga kind of having the chats with Biden or with Barack, and him kind of going, all right. You know, it's just interesting seeing all these guys kind of, you know, out of their natural habitat.
We were talking this morning, Rebecca, about how slowly Gaga walked down to the podium and back. Like, she was milking every moment, wasn't she?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, like standout moments. I mean, when are you going to have Lady Gaga, J-Lo, not to mention Garth Brooks, right, nearly upstaging the swearing in of a president? I mean, only the United States. You have to hand it to them. Always coming up trumps with the pomp and the pageantry. And the guys knocked it out of the park. I mean, their performances, never mind the acting and
the outfits.
All of it went around.
But I have to ask you, Bernie Sanders has been breaking the internet. What's going on there?
Oh, my goodness. Listen, the internet really, I mean, if you want to laugh, you just have to look it up. If you didn't see Bernie sitting down, you know, he's wearing his, it's now been called Vermont Dad Core. So his typical parka, he's never seen without it, but he's dressed for the occasion. These like really, really oversized woolen mittens. You know, like when you're little and your mom would put these mittens on, you know, but like crazy big brown mittens. And he's just sitting there all kind of wrapped up. But it was just so hilarious. It was just one of those things. I mean, the meme makers were having a field day, you know what
field
I mean?
Kind
of contrasting that with all the outfits. But it was just something that stood out. It was just quite ghastly.
Now, there seemed to be a lot of purple on display, and that wasn't just the Olads frozen solid. But well, what was all that about?
Yeah, so that is worth mentioning, actually. Good eye there, Jen. Yeah, so it was a standout colour of the day. You know, you kind of be thinking, oh, would they not be rocking the blues, you know, getting away from that crazy oversized red tie that we're all so sick of seeing. But it wasn't the Democratic blue, it was purple. So, you know, the theme of the inauguration was America Unite. So purple, it kind of represents the ground between red and blue on the color wheel, right? So it was like a visual flag for the message of unity, you know, the main theme, of course, of Biden's speech. And, you know, all the former the first ladies and all their people will be, you know, on the phones to each other and kind of coordinating something like that. So that was, you know, very interesting to see.
Now, the new administration didn't waste any time in getting down to business, did they?
No, absolutely. Like hard at it. Work, work, work. So and again, you know, really sending messages and kind of taking apart Trump's legacy. You know, we were speaking just the other day of all the kind of things he was trying to get in at last minute. So, you know, Biden's already come out putting a stop to deportations, redecorating the Oval Office, you know, putting back climate change on the official White House website. I mean, it's crazy. You forget all the things that were kind of whitewashed in the know, the old administration. Rejoining the World Health Organization. You know, so he was straight to the Oval Office, sitting at that iconic Resolute desk, signing that massive stack of executive orders. I mean, even the optics of that, Jen, we were talking before about Trump sitting there for photocalls, literally with the blank pages and the black Sharpie, like just signing his name on blank pages. So actual real life presidential work going on, you know, rejoining the Paris Accord, stopping Mexican border wall funding, reversing, you know, Muslim travel bans, just to name a few. And it was actually interesting, Jen, it was when the president was doing that, it emerged that he had actually been left a letter by Trump. So that was one tradition that Trump did. So he left Biden a letter, and everyone here is just dying to know what was on that, because Biden, like the gent he is, he would not divulge what it said. You know, he said it was private, but he did say that it was generous. So it'll be interesting to see if that comes out.
Oh my God, I want to know what's in that letter. What did he say? And speaking of Trump, he finally left the big house. How did his departure go down in the end?
I know, right? Nearly like the end of a bad movie. Like, you know, he went with the I'll be back, right? He said, we will be back in some form. And he's there boarding Air Force One, playing along to YMCA village people, you know, so bizarre. Like, when are they going to just kind of come and finally break out that dance? But, you know, a fitting send off. You know, we had been speaking the other day about him looking to have his own little goodbye ceremony. He did get that. Pence didn't go. Pence did go to the, you know, the main inauguration. So, you know, he left the White House, the red carpet, you know, hand in hand with Melania. She was wearing a dark suit and sunglasses, all business. And then it was interesting seeing them get off the plane in Florida, and she's already changed into her flat. She's wearing this bright, like kind of a nearly something you'd wear coming off the beach dress, you know, all Florida out. Ivanka starts crying. Tiffany there with her fiancé. It was really quite a dramatic day. And then another meltdown from the internet. All the wags online were comparing. I mean, poor Barron, like he hasn't had enough to contend with the last 4 years. They were saying, comparing him to Kevin McAllister in Home Alone, because there was no sign of him. It was like, oh, will the Bidens check the White House? Where is Barron? The poor guy, like he hasn't had enough to be putting on with, you know, the last 4 years.
Oh,
so I'm
no.
sure he's just
he
waking
wants
up
to
this
stay.
Morning.
He wants
Absolutely.
To stay with the Bidens. Now, no pardon for Joe Exotic, but Trump did leave some nice parting gifts for his, quite frankly, dodgy mates. Who got what?
Yeah, so Lil Wayne and Kodak Black were the two rappers who topped his hip hop list. Now they're both been up for gun charges. So, yeah, kind of shady. You know, there have been reports that he would have up to 100 pardons. I mean, you know, Rudy Giuliani was literally selling them off. It was really ludicrous and making up a lot of the headlines in the lead up to this. What was interesting and what was kind of a last minute one that he snuck through was Steve Bannon, his former operative. A few people saw coming, of course, you know, one of the main architects really of the Capitol insurrection. Quite a scary man. So obviously someone who Trump kind of is holding in big esteem. But like you said, Jen, the big surprise and letdown was for the pandemic hero, Joe Exotic. He had a limo booked, an appointment made at the hairdresser that he just never made. I mean, can you imagine the state of his mullet now? You know, I mean, when you think back to all of us talking about Joe Exotic, like, you know, a year ago, and here we are still. It's something else.
He's incredible. Young poet Amanda Gorman, we have to mention, was the standout star from all the pomp and pageantry. We'll just take a listen to the end of her amazing performance. Here she is.
We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it for there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
I mean, just incredible performance. She really had some presence, even just playing her out. Just her voice, just incredible, right?
Big time, you know, and like you said, such gravitas. The talent, and you know, it gives me hope for the future. I mean, she's such a difficult task to try and create such beauty and wisdom out of the absolute horror, really, that the last few weeks have thrown up here. You know, so she wrote that poem specifically for this. And again, like, so young. You know, I don't know about you, but I mean, at that age, I certainly wasn't writing poetry. You know, there wasn't much poetry in coppers. But I mean, you know, just I think that here she's blown up overnight. Her books are number 2 and 1 on Amazon, and people are just really thrilled for her. And again, you know, hopeful. And that glimmer of hope is something that, you know, I think Americans on all sides of the political spectrum are waking up to, because people just haven't realized how much pent-up emotion they've had over the past 4 years dealing with this, you know, agent of chaos news cycle and the constant tweets and the constant knowing what's going on in Trump's head. You know, I think it's going to make such a difference, like you said, to the whole world, to be able to just take a breath and take a step back from that.
Well, listen, Rebecca O'Neill, thanks so much for joining me again. We'll all sleep a little better, you know, tonight, hopefully. Well, apart from you, because we keep calling you at all hours to tell us what's going on. But thank you so much. Get some rest and we'll chat to you soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks, love. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.